Welcome back to the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host, and remind you that we are on SoundCloud and Facebook. And we have as a guest now Stephen Gowans. He's the author of a new article on this matter of the Uyghurs in the Canadian Parliament. The title is The Watchdogs of Imperialism and the Uyghur Genocide Slander, published March 2nd. You can find that at gowans.blog. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Phil.
I have to say, this is a very important matter, and I thought of a proverb, long will the bitter morsel be chewed. The Canadian Parliament has done something really quite, to me, shocking. It's surprising such a thing has come about, vote 226 to nothing, expressing the opinion, quotes, and this is from your article, the People's Republic of China has implemented measures intended to prevent Uyghur and other Turkic Muslim births, and that these measures are consistent with the United Nations Genocide Convention. So as far as I know, the public, Canadian public knows, the Canadian Parliament is accusing the People's Republic of China, member of the Security Council, our ally in World War II, by the way, that leadership, of genocide. You have done your usual homework and come up with using your old trick of using logic and asking for evidence. You're not satisfied that they have made a case here. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. Please talk about that.
So as you mentioned, the parliamentary motion expresses the opinion that China has implemented measures intended to prevent Uyghur and other Turkic Muslim births, and that these measures are consistent with the United Nations Genocide Convention. And it's true, if China had implemented measures intended to prevent Uyghur and other Turkic Muslim births, these measures would be consistent with the United Nations Genocide Convention. But the question is, have they implemented measures intended to prevent Uyghur and other Turkic Muslim births? And there appears to be absolutely no evidence that that is the case. It also appears to be the case that the Canadian Parliament has predicated its accusation on research done by a German anthropologist named Adrian Zenz, whose report that they cite only mentions genocide in its final sentence. And then in a very, very tentative way, and indeed, what Zenz's report demonstrates is that the birth control policies that have been implemented in China do not prevent the Uyghur or Turkic Muslim minorities from having children. And they have not eventuated in a demographic genocide, which is the way in which Zenz characterizes this. So I can go into details about his report, but that's the basis or the gist of it. I should point out that the parliamentary motion, and I found this significant, also noted that it had been the position of two consecutive US administrations that Uyghur and other Turkic Muslims are being subjected to a genocide.
That's like
So in this case, so in this case, the Canadian Parliament is now pointing to political opinion expressed in the United States as substantiation for their claim that there's a genocide, saying, well, the US administration say there's a genocide, therefore there must be.
But, you know, this is very striking. One, that there could be so much responsibility in the hands of one individual who has such a dubious history. And a career path full of biases that would, you would think an ordinary member, say, of the NDP or the Green Party would say, well, here you are, you're an anthropologist, but I notice you have really curious opinions elsewhere, which would make me wonder if we ought to be, how much credibility we should give or weight to what you say. Apropos of that, I mean, he is opposed to abortion himself, right? He is a Christian fundamentalist, anti-abortionist. I assume he's against family planning. And he's the person you ask to talk about a country that has practiced family planning?
Well, and look who's behind the accusations. There's a network of groups and individuals who are motivated by hatred of communism and the Chinese Communist Party, and the conviction that the United States must remain the world's supreme power. And at this center is Adrian Zenz, the man you just mentioned, who is a fundamentalist Christian who views feminism and homosexuality and communism as abominations against God. He believes he's on a divinely inspired mission to bring about the demise of communist rule in China. And he's the senior fellow at an organization called the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation.
He's a senior.
So what is, and what is the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation? Well, it was created by the US government to discredit an ideology which competes against what I call the United States' first favorite religion, which is US state capitalism, its second favorite religion being Christianity. But the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation seeks to, quote, free the world from the false hope of Marxism and save it from, quote, the tyranny of communism, which, by the way, was the leitmotif of Hitler's political career.
Yeah.
Not too many people read Hitler, but if you did read Hitler, you might discover that what motivated him was not entirely what people like to say motivated him these days. I mean, his principal political objective was the destruction of communism. So the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation comes from the same kind of intellectual tradition that spawned Hitler. Mm-hmm. This foundation also says that its goal, its mission is to educate future generations that, quote, Marxist socialism is the deadliest ideology in history. Yes. One, presumably by this view, that's fully capable of carrying out a genocide. And I found this significant. The foundation on its website is particularly agitated by the fact that in its view, quote, there are positive attitudes toward communism and socialism at all-time high in the United States. And given that it's essential that the foundation fulfill its mission of discrediting this false hope of Marxism and the tyranny of communism. So already, I mean, these people are biased against the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party. So we might expect them to to produce reports that discredit China in various ways. Zenz also wrote, go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but I want to make this point that this idea that we should that it should all be placed in the hands of such an ideologically driven organization and individual, you know, just undermines completely the idea that the Canadian Parliament is actually looking into something. Because obviously, if you were saying, let's have an investigation, let's see what kind of evidence there is, that would mean that you hear from those who do not agree with Mr. Zenz. There's no such voice, none. One other detail I want to throw to you is that you mentioned that thing, this point about the Victims of Communism, and it was the Hitlerian outlook. When they made alliance with Japan, they were called, and with Italy, they were the anti-Comintern alliance, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they were doing. That was what they had in common. They were fighting communism together.
Yes, indeed.
So
another anti-communist organization that figures in this story is the Jamestown Foundation. And the Jamestown Foundation sponsored the report that Zenz wrote that was then used to suggest there's a genocide being carried out in Xinjiang. And the Jamestown Foundation is an anti-communist outfit, which is either interlocked with the CIA, or if not, some people call it a CIA front organization. But its mission, it has a very specific mission, and that is to shape public opinion about China and North Korea, and not to shape it in favorable ways, but to shape it in very unfavorable ways. And they sponsored the report. And interestingly, it was the Jamestown Foundation, and not Zenz himself, that really promoted this report as one that demonstrated that the Chinese government was engaged in genocidal activities.
I was struck by
Because if you look, I was just going to mention.
Go ahead.
I was just going to conclude on that if you actually read Zenz's report, you'll see that Zenz is very, very tentative about characterizing Chinese birth control policies as genocidal. It's the Jamestown Foundation that's really emphasizing this point and making the claim that there's a genocide. And then the Jamestown Foundation is an anti-communist group whose mission is to shape public opinion about China.
Yeah. I think it's your article. I really hope people will read this. Stephen Gowans, it's at Gowans.blog, isn't it? Blogspot or blog? I'm trying to remember. Because you actually are giving Zenz the kind of sort of important credit that he deserves, that he hasn't gone over the top in what he's prepared to say, as opposed to all of his sponsors and people who want to use him. And you name the individual at James Institute. It's, is it Dotson? John,
yes.
Dotson? He's the one who signed off accusation.
He's the one actually who promotes the and came up with the accusation. It's, if you read his introduction to Zenz's report, that's where you have the claim being made strongly that there is a genocide going on in China.
Mm-hmm. This is Stephen Gowans, and Stephen, you've laid out the four points that we talked about, the geostrategic context, pardon me, and to who is behind these accusations, which we're getting into now. How do the accusers define genocide, and what is the evidence? And what you start off by citing an author who kind of tips the game, and that in, you say, 2003, Graham Fuller, former vice chair, the U.S. National Intelligence Estimate. And he talked about how he laid out what they're going to do here with the Uyghur issue.
Yeah, was it 2002, 2003? I can't recall. Fuller, who had been with the CIA and then with various roles in the US intelligence community, had predicted in a paper that he wrote for the Paul H. Nietzsche School of Advanced International Study. And the paper was called The Problem of Xinjiang. He predicted that if bilateral relations deteriorated between the US and China, that the US would, quote, play the Uyghur card. And by that, he meant the US would try to foment ethnic discord in Xinjiang, or what ethnic discord already existed, would try to intensify, and then portray the measures Beijing would use to contain the discord as evidence of the inherently repressive nature of communism and the moral opprobrium of the Chinese Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out that various rivals of China throughout history had, quote, played the Uyghur card, and anticipated that the United States might do this under conditions in which relations between China and the United States had deteriorated.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's very...
And they certainly have deteriorated.
Yes. And you go from this article, article or book by Fuller and his co-author, to, in fact, Joe Biden himself talking in during the campaign or in 2020 of what he was going to do. And you raise, as you were prone to do, the, is this about rivalry? Is this about dominance and economics? Or is this about human rights? And you really catch Biden on that point, because he says, oh, I'm going to do this. Okay, can you talk about what Biden had to say?
Yeah, I mean, recently Biden's talked about American leadership must meet the growing ambitions of China to rival the United States. So he's particularly agitated by that, as are many people within the ruling circles of the United States. Very interestingly, the Wall Street Journal, I think it was last week or in the last 2 weeks, said that Biden's goal is to stay ahead of China in semiconductors, artificial intelligence, and other advances that are expected to define the economy and military of the future, but that he intends to portray the conflict as one based on what they said was a clash of values, so democracy versus autocracy, rather than a clash of economic interests. So, you know, at the base of this deteriorating Sino-US relationship lies this commercial rivalry, on top of which Washington has layered a narrative about a clash of values. Now, this was anticipated by Biden in an article he wrote in the spring of 2020 for Foreign Affairs, where he outlined a strategy of confronting China over the economic challenges it poses to U.S. businesses and to the U.S. domination of the industries of tomorrow and to U.S. technological supremacy, and along with that, U.S. military supremacy, because U.S. military supremacy depends on U.S. technological supremacy. And the crux of this article was that the strategy, he said, would be based on using a human rights narrative to rally support for a U.S.-led campaign against China. So in two spots, in the Foreign Affairs article and then in, you know, the recent Wall Street Journal article, we have this acknowledgement that that Biden is invoking this human rights narrative as a way to rally support to challenge China on economic grounds. Mm-hmm.
And again, if you were having an inquiry into, well, is this some type of crime, et cetera, and Mr. Biden is telling us about it, he's the type of evidence that a proper judge would throw out, because he says, this gentleman has a bias. He's come here to harm somebody, but he's telling us he has certain, you know, he's really concerned about human rights. And therefore, we can dispense with his whatever he thinks he's contributing. But that isn't the way the game is going. I mean, the game is going the other direction. As you pointed out, it is rather alarming. The Canadian Parliament thinks it's important that they say that two administrations, I guess they mean Biden and Trump, have agreed on this. And so who are we, little Canadians, to differ with two administrations? And they have only two parties, so that's the whole show. Let's put it this way. Canadian workers and the general population need to kind of wake up here. I was appalled that the Canadian Labour Congress actually had someone give testimony in favor of the resolution. That accusing a country that it is developing hand over fist, where population is growing, incomes are growing, life expectancy is growing. I just ask you to comment on this. I don't know if you've seen it, but just to show how, in my mind, was way off track on understanding China. The Globe and Mail did 2.5 pages talking about migration of workers, but of course they thought it was part of a genocide. They found that workers in Xinjiang, who were not employed, were being given an opportunity, they didn't call it an opportunity, to go to for job training and then being paid transportation to get to the job, which paid better than their wages had ever been, and then also to have transportation home. And the Globe concluded that that must be genocide.
Yes, that was an egregiously bad piece. That was by Vanderclip, I believe his name is. And it was shameful because it begins by invoking imagery of the Holocaust. I think his article begins by talking about workers loaded onto trains or something to that effect.
Riding the rods, going underneath the train to get from New Jersey to California to get a job. You know, migration of workers is actually a new phenomenon.
It wasn't serious journalism. It smacked of propaganda, so obviously. But he also cited Vanderclip's article is based on a Zenz report.
Yes.
Zenz's latest report. So I got Zenz's report and read it on that. And my intention was to read it by looking at what Zenz has said, what his reasoning was, what his data was, what his evidence was. And I found it a very frustrating report to read because it doesn't say anything. Essentially, it's a jumble of frightening, scary words, but are put together in no real coherent manner. And as far as I could tell, there was no evidence.
Well,
no evidence at all. It was simply a series of assertions.
United States and Canada bring migrant workers who are very happy to come to get somewhat better pay than they would make in their home. Although they don't get housing, they get poor treatment, they don't have unions. And a similar kind of migration towards work takes place in China with supervision, guaranteeing income and travel, and it becomes a crime.
Well, yeah, and that's part of the campaign and the approach. They've done this before too. Previous Zenz himself has complained about job programs in Xinjiang. About training people for jobs, about economic development, because why? Well, the Chinese government is trying to mobilize the support of the Uyghur population or buy their support by providing with jobs and economic development and a better life and social welfare. And that is, in his view, some kind of evil cultural genocidal approach to minority populations.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Stephen. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And mainstream media, like the Globe and Mail is particularly bad. I mean, they simply echo this garbage.
The Globe is on a mission from God. They are like sins. They're continually running that little item saying, the two Michaels have been in prison this long. If you're a journalist, you were supposed to say, and so is Meng Wanzhou. Only Canadians are being held. I mean, a journalist would say, actually, three people are being held under different circumstances, different charges. That would be reporting. The other is propaganda. And it's leading, people should mention, and I know you're aware of it, the violence against and acting out against Asian Canadians and Asian Americans is increasing as this propaganda increases. People are at risk, and these are citizens. They're being singled out by race. I want to comment about the parliamentarians and Bob Rae. And I want to put it in this context. It seems to me it's a part of the NATO, and I would call it neocolonial mentality of parliament and Westerners, that they think they need to micromanage countries that are 8,000 miles away. They not long ago gave citizenship to the leader of Myanmar, and they all had their picture taken with her. Then they decided to take the citizenship away, and all of them together, 266 to nothing, I'm sure, agreed, yes, take the citizenship away. Now she's in jail. I don't know. But that shows the kind of egg on your face stupidity of involving themselves in basically a colonial exercise, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
But, hey. And talk about Bob Ray. He's our ambassador, and he knows about it, genocide, I understand. What, how does he get?
Yes, well, Bob Ray has accused the Chinese of committing a genocide, and then after doing so said that efforts should be undertaken to gather the evidence to show that this is indeed true, which appears to be the approach of the witch hunt. Let's declare someone a witch, and then we'll torture the evidence to show that they are.
Witch in. We're going to have an investigation. Mm-hmm. Well, by the way, that is what leads to torture. I mean, that's what they did in Guantanamo, right? They didn't have evidence. Mm-hmm. And then they beat him up. And then they said, well, it helped because they all confessed, you know. And so how many times you have to be waterboarded before you agree with the guy asking the question?
Yes. And the very same country that proclaims itself to be the champion of the rule of law.
Yeah.
Perhaps the world's greatest violator of the rule of law. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that is, of course, your starting point here seems to me is the right one, where you call out I think the word is the watchdogs of imperialism. You're citing a quote from a letter by Lenin to, I think it was British workers, I forget. Oh no, American.
American workers. No.
Who are the, talk about the watchdog phenomenon, because we seem to be experiencing it.
I mean, all of this is part of this, of an information warfare campaign. And Washington is recruiting its citizens and its allies and their citizens and the progressive community into this campaign to protect what I call the international dictatorship of the United States, and to protect it from the challenge posed by the peaceful rise of China. And every manner of slander has been hurled at China to galvanize popular opposition to Beijing and mobilize popular support for economic regression and growing military intimidation against the People's Republic of China. And so-called progressive forces are complicit in this. There's Democracy Now!, which has provided Adrian Zenz with a platform to slander Beijing. There's the New Democratic and Green parties in Canada that voted for this motion declaring a genocide is in progress in Xinjiang based on work done by Adrian Zenz. So they're colluding in this campaign to protect and promote the profits of Western shareholders and investors and bankers from the challenges posed by China's rise, because that's what the war is all about. And that's what motivates the war, is the profits of, you know, Western, particularly US shareholders, investors, and bankers. And so Lenin, who had a lot of experience with the treachery of so-called progressive forces, called these people the watchdogs of imperialism. They claim to be on the side of, you know, everyday people and workers, but invariably end up siding with shareholders, investors, and bankers in their wars against some other group of investors or bankers, or against communists who are challenging their right to exploit and oppress people. So, you know, you could ask questions about the motivations of the Green Party or the NDP. How is it that they came to vote for this motion? Were they just lazy? They failed to take it upon themselves to actually investigate the claim that was being made. You could say that. But on the other hand, you could point to a long history of acting in a manner that Lenin had called 100 years ago.
Yes.
Watchdog of imperialism.
Yeah. It strikes me as very important. The last point about it, I want to make sure we mention, this is all a part of the story, is that not only are they committing genocide, but they are become, they say, aggressive. And a sign of aggression is Taiwan, which is part of China, Hong Kong, which is part of China, Tibet, which is part of China. Meanwhile, as your book, wonderful book on Syria, illustrates, U.S. has an actually established a base inside Syria and is extracting oil, Syrian oil, from them. So I'll give you the last word and we have to go.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, one of the really astonishing things I saw was an article yesterday, which showed that the United States plans to install intermediate range missiles along what's called the first string of islands, essentially within range of China. Mm-hmm. But this was justified as installing the missiles in order to deter Chinese aggression. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, this is obviously an aggressive act when you install intermediate range missiles very close to China and then claim that you're doing so in a defensive manner. And it's the United States doing this. I mean, they just simply turn everything on its head.
It really shows that we have a vassal parliament, but also we're not able to see or hear. This is the sort of obvious things, and yet we have these majority votes. It's a rather ugly testimony to the problems we've got. Well, Stephen, the article is very timely. Maybe you ought to think about a book on it. My guess is that the Uyghur thing is going to go on a while. I mean, don't you have the feeling that, you know, we're in for heavier stuff based on this? I should put it this way. If you accuse someone of genocide and you mean that, well, either you have to apologize and back down, or you have to go forward and actually initiate violence at some stage, because you're supposed to rescue people who are in danger of being genocided.
Yeah, and the fact that the accusation is made and then nothing is done to follow up, I mean, indicates
that's
that
immoral.
No one really believes this. And they don't believe it. And we know they don't believe it because we know that the U.S. State Department lawyers had told Pompeo that there's absolutely no evidence that there was a genocide in Xinjiang.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness we have your article. March 2nd, gowans.blog. And Stephen, thank you very, very much for joining us.
Thank you, Phil.